What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The Covenant will not stop.
There is something within us, something sacred, something worth protecting.
Silver team, on me.
College hoop teams have been fighting all season long to secure their shot at being crowned champs. To celebrate this amazing time for hoop fans, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a shot at royalty with 40-1 odds on any college basketball game.
Place a $5 bet on any college basketball team to win their next game, and if they win, DraftKings will pay out $200 in free bets.
DraftKings Sportsbook has nearly endless ways to get in on the action, from same-game parlays to future betting. Feel the sweat with DraftKings now.
If you've already taken advantage of this offer, DraftKings still has you covered. There are so many ways to get into hoops action with DraftKings Daily Fantasy.
DraftKings offers nearly endless opportunities to make it rain with their daily fantasy contests, which have millions of dollars up for grabs every week.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code SMOKE. Throw down just $5 on the college basketball game of your choice and get $200 in free bets if the team of your choice wins. That's code SMOKE at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Status check. Hold on, let me do it. Okay.
I hate this dude, bro. This dude has issues.
Welcome back to What's Burning. Jack, what's going on?
Hula, my brother. How are you? I see your voice kind of shady today. You've been out there screaming at them boys trying to get them dubs, huh?
Yeah, man. A little raspy. But the boys came through this weekend, man. And Dallas had a great little run and won the championship. So I'm happy for them. It's raining out here. But fuck. Life is good. Ain't no complaints, man. Status check. Coming down the home stretch. Let's take a look at the West and the East during this final home run for the playoffs. The Phoenix Suns. To me, along with the Boston Celtics. But the Phoenix Suns, man, are the hottest team in the game. Surpassed the 60-win plateau. They're now 61-14, controlling home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Devin Booker has been incredible. Jack, are the Suns a legitimate contender this season to win a championship?
No question, because they was able to keep it steady. They was able to keep the majority of their team healthy. And they was able to also rest their stars during the meantime. So I think with the collection of all those things and the way they're playing right now, this is the way that you want to have your team come together and be healthy going into the playoffs. Everything is clicking for them at the right time, and they definitely looking like the leading favorite to win this championship, definitely coming out the West.
Again, you know, it's about getting hot at the right time. Everyone was really worried when CP went down right before the All-Star break, but the team kept the ship afloat. Devin Booker raised his play 26-5-5, but 26-5-7 without CP, so he added a few more assists to his repertoire. But this team is hitting on all cylinders. This is a complete team with a great coach. They play defense. CP is back, had two nice double-doubles. So this team, again, is gearing up at the right time. And it's hard for me to say because I'm a Warrior fan, but it just looks so messy over there. I think it's Phoenix's championship to lose this season. That's how good I feel like they're playing. Another team that's in the second slot right now, the Memphis Grizzlies, hammered the Bucks without Ja. They're now 16-2 without him. He'll be reevaluated in a few weeks. Dylan Brooks has returned to the lineup. Bane remains very, very solid. With the Grizzlies being ahead of schedule, what do you see them doing this season, Jack, in the playoffs?
I mean, for me, Matt, at this point, after seeing them beat Brooklyn and the Bucks the way they did and the way that everybody's playing together and solid, how they're competing, this team is just as scary as the Suns to me because the way they're playing, they only have their star back and they're still playing like their star is on the court and being dominant without him. So, the way they play on both ends of the court, the way everybody embraces their role, the way Steven Adams protects the paint and does his job to a T, regardless of Jaws out there or not, I think this team is just as scary as Phoenix. So anybody they play, they got to be worried.
Yeah, I mean, this team is special, man, and they showed it that they're a deep team without Ja. I mean, to have that kind of record without your stars is very impressive. The one thing I just want to see in the playoffs is, obviously, yeah, they beat the Bucks and they beat the Nets. How do you bow in a seven-game series where adjustments are going to be critical, and normally young teams struggle a little bit to make those in-game adjustments throughout a series. But agree, man, this team is scary, and shit, the sky's the limit with this team. There ain't no telling what they're going to do out there in Memphis. Warriors got some bad news. James Wiseman will not return this season. Swelling on his knee. They're going to go ahead and shut him down for the remainder of the season. Draymond is very frustrated with his recent performances. Can the Warriors get back in this mix, Jack? They're 5-5 in their last 10, and they're currently sitting in the third seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. Once they get in the playoffs, get Steph back. I don't really think they should be too frustrated about having Wiseman back. He ain't played all year, you know what I mean? And I think the frustration is it comes in when they could have traded him. You know, but they had a feeling he was going to come back and help this team. But now he's not coming back in the season. Now they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. But Draymond is just frustrated. He's just getting back from injury. I think by the time the playoffs start, I think this team will be fine. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship or come out the West. But I think they'll still be a team that's going to compete and you still have to worry about.
Yeah, I don't think the Wiseman situation, I just think it's unfortunate. I think he would have just added some depth to their lineup. But if you think about it, man, this core hasn't played together in over 2 years. You know, mm-hmm. The second that Clay came back, Dre was hurt. The second that Dre came back, Steph is hurt. So mm-hmm. These guys really haven't had their core together. Iguodala's working his way back. Young guys have been playing well, but it just hasn't been enough. I'm just interested to see how fast the core can get their chemistry back because I feel like Draymond is the best when he has all his weapons out there. And he doesn't have all his weapons. And again, he's coming back off a back injury, man, who he missed a lot of time. So I agree with you. It's going to be a slow grind for them. They definitely need Steph back. Draymond continue to play his way into basketball shape. And again, in a seven-game series, you're going to have your work cut out, you know, knocking the Warriors out.
Yep.
Miami relinquishes the top spot in the East after being blown out by the Nets. Miami has lost four in a row. Spolster, UD, Jimmy had a little tit-tat that we'll talk about. Jimmy's probably been one of the most outspoken players in the last few years. Is this good or bad for Miami, Jack? And do we smell a first-round upset for the Heat, or are we reaching?
Yeah, me personally, I don't see no first-round upset. I like that type of shit. I like it because all the soft motherfuckers on the team, you know, they get to see that shit and they be like, okay, hold up. We seen UD and Spoelstra and Jimmy come. beef and shit and go out at it. But watch UD and Jimmy become closer because they're the same type of player. They're the same type of pit bull. I know both of them. And I've got into it like that with my teammates. Hell, me and BD got into it in practice. But there's nobody that I was closer to on our team. You know what I'm saying? That's my brother. So it may sometimes things like that brings you closer. I don't think it was that big of a deal. I just when you lose and shit happens and shit, and sometimes shit is said where somebody feel disrespected. And the shit happens. But at the end of the day, for me, that brings the team closer. UD not on the court. UD is basically there to keep that team together. And he's supposed to step up, you know, when the coach get into it like that. So I get it. But at the same time, if Jimmy felt disrespected by something the coach said, which that's what he told me, then, you know, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? You got to defend yourself as a man. But I know the respect that Jimmy has for Spoelstra is through the roof. I know the respect that that Jimmy has for Udonis is through the roof. And it's going to bring that team together. I see them. I definitely don't see them losing in the first round.
Yeah, I don't think this is a big deal either. Obviously, when it happened, I knew that the media would blow it out of proportion. This kind of shit happens all the time, whether it be games, practices, locker room. It's normal. You know, men are going to disagree at some time. And again, yeah, you're right. UD has an important role on this team, Jack. And we've talked about this. It's mm-hmm. that veteran leadership that a lot of teams lack. That this is very important to kind of just keep all these personalities and egos in line. I don't think this is going to pull them apart. I think they'll be fine. They're in a rut right now. You know, losing four in a row, losing to undermanned 76ers, losing to the undermanned Warriors. It's just going to bubble over, man, and that's just what it is. As far as their playoff outlook, I kind of feel personally that they were just holding down that first spot for someone who was going to come and slide in at the right time. But again, very solid team, 2 years removed from the finals. Just all have to get back on the same page. But again, the playoffs are about who's hot at the right time, not where you're sitting at in the rankings. So we'll have to keep a close eye on to see what Miami does moving forward. Big news that the league was happy about, the world was happy about. Kyrie Irving has returned full-time basis for the Brooklyn Nets. Played on Barclays on Sunday. First game versus the Hornets. Didn't shoot very well, but I'm sure everyone was just happy to have him back. The Nets play six of their last eight games at home, so he'll get a good feeling for back being on that home court. Currently battling Charlotte, who they lost to last night for that eighth spot. Can the combination of KD, Kyrie push this team to the Eastern Conference with no Ben Simmons, if that's the case?
Yeah, I think what it's going to all boil down to is we finally get to see how good of a coach our boy Steve Nash is, because it's at the point now where they have the pieces. You know, a couple guys might be banged up, but at the end of the day, you still have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and you have him full time now. You have the pieces that you need. LaMarcus Aldridge, hopefully he'll be able to play. Drummond is playing well. And a couple of guys off the bench playing well. I just think this is going to be all on Steve Nash. What lineup he puts out there to get the job done. I think they have the pieces to the puzzle. Everything is playing out for him. Kyrie's back now. Let's see what type of coaching job is done for the Brooklyn Nets. We know what the player's going to do.
Strategy, huh? Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. Obviously, you know, Ben Simmons, that's going to leave, you know, a hole that they were hoping to have filled, but again, Seth Curry. I really like the way Bruce Brown's playing. He's out there. He's their switchblade, man. He does all the dirty work on both ends of the court. And again, when we talk playoffs, we're talking about a seven-game series. And it's going to be hard to beat a healthy Kevin Durant and a healthy Kyrie Irving four times, no matter who's around him. We're just going to have to sit back and see, man. But that brings you to my next point. In your mind, who are the top three duos in the game right now? I'm not talking about all time. You know, you could put AD and LeBron would probably, you know, but I'm talking about currently right now, who's rocking, who's playing well.
Definitely I would go with Kyrie and KD. I think I would go with the young boys in Boston, Tatum and Brown. My last one, it would have to be CP and Devin Booker.
Damn, you got all the same ones, just a different order.
Yeah.
I got the Boston duo. My number one duo in the league right now, playing incredible. They're on some crazy run, like, I don't even want to misquote, but like 27-4 or something since the turn of the year. Just incredible. Have moved themselves into the number one slot. So they got my number one playing duo right now. Then I would put KD and Kyrie, still trying to figure things out, but playing well. And then Chris is back, and he came back with two straight double-doubles. Devin Booker should be in the MVP conversation. So those are my top three duos right now. Speaking of Tatum and Brown, the Celtics have taken over the number one spot in the Eastern Conference as they beat the dog shit out of the Wolves on Sunday. 22-3 in their last 25 games. They were in 11th place just 2 months ago. Robin Williams has suffered a meniscus tear. Wonder how long he's going to have to be out. Jack, thoughts on the C's, and can they make a push, particularly without Robert Williams, because he's in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. That's going to be a big void if he can't play the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that's going to hurt them out a lot. And I don't know, I can't really put a finger on who can replace what he does. You know, similar to what Steven Adams does from Memphis. You lose him, no telling how you're going to defend the rebound like you do to get out and run. Not having this guy, like I said, inside, it's a big hole for them. Maybe Al Horford can step up and increase his role on this team. Who knows? The young guys been playing great all year. They're just going to have to step their game up. Tatum been getting 40 and 50 point games. I think it might have to go down to like 30, 28 and put more of that effort on defense without having Williams.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to replace a player like Williams who does so much. You know, he puts pressure on the defense with his rim attempts. And then someone who protects the paint on the other end. Again, you know, mm-hmm. in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. So to me, this drastically reduces their chances to win it all. I mean, they've been playing so good. It's disappointing, you know, for the young fella to have to go down like this. But we'll have to see, man. Ime Udoka's got that pop system, got those guys over there believing. So normally in a pop system, it's a plug and play.
You know, yep,
so
it's going
to be a next man up mentality. So we'll have to see who that'll be for the Boston Celtics.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game, bro.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
So, Jack, there's been a bunch of chatter about positional issues when coming to first-team All-NBA statuses, because we know guys get lots of money for making the first, second, or third team. Jason Tatum, in particular, lost $32 million in bonuses for not being named to one of those three teams. Let's break this down a little bit. Embiid and Joker. Only one of them can be all NBA. Who are you picking?
Both of them.
Only one can make the first team, bro. Who you taking?
I'm picking both of them.
You can't.
I'm not picking them. You know what? You know what? Maybe that's why they got these motherfuckers who do have votes that are always in their feelings. Maybe they got them voting, because in reality, if you're a basketball fan like me and know the game, both of these motherfuckers deserve it. But just like they didn't put Dwight Howard and Kyrie Irving on the top 75, they got the motherfuckers that be in their feelings and do shit off the how they feel about a person instead of doing it off facts and reality. And reality is, both of these motherfuckers deserve it, so I can't pick one.
So you can't pick one. So the new rule is 3 front court and 2 back court. So leaving the centers out the mix, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who else comes to mind for first team this year?
Devin Booker.
Good call.
Devin Booker comes to mind. Tatum comes to mind. I would go Jokic and Embiid if I had to pick. And if I had to pick a point guard that deserved it this year to be in the All-NBA team, a guard, that's tough. I would go with CP, even though he missed games. I can't think of nobody else.
My All-NBA team would be Ja Morant at the point. Devin Booker
Ja. Okay.
Yeah, oh, you're going to switch up on me now, huh?
Yeah. Take CP out and put in Ja. You're right. My bad.
So I'm going to put Ja at the point, Devin Booker at the 2, Jason Tatum at the 3, Giannis at the 4, and Embiid at the 5. Although
and
Joker's
just
had a great year.
Man, you cannot do that.
His numbers are better than his MVP season. But, man, Embiid has been that motherfucker this season, bro. And there's no way I can't, you know, I just can't overlook him. And so it's going to be a tough decision for them voters, man. And that's a pretty new, fresh-looking team. We'd have to look back to see if any of those guys have made All-NBA. I think Tatum has before. But that's a new, young, next-wave team. I like it. Next up on the radar, presented to you by DraftKings. With so much attention on the Eastern Conference and the key matchups this week, let's take a look at the few in the middle looking for this strong playoff push towards the end. Will these teams make the playoffs, in your opinion, Jack? Yes or no? The Atlanta Hawks.
No.
Plus. The Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are yes at plus 260. No, minus 370. So the Atlanta Hawks are a no for you.
Yeah, man. I watch him, man. I feel sorry for Trey. You know what I'm saying? He needs some help, man. John Collins wasn't the move. He's an athletic kid, but he wasn't a Batman. I mean, he wasn't a Robin to a Batman, so I feel sorry for Trey, so no.
Next up, a team that started off hot, but it's cool way off. The Cleveland Cavaliers are yes at minus 310 and no at plus 220.
Yes.
Cleveland, they've cooled off a little bit, but still definitely a playoff team.
Yep.
Next up, the young Charlotte Hornets at a yes 295 and a no for 425. Currently sitting in eighth.
As much as I want to see LaMelo in the playoffs, I'm part of the Charlotte alumni. I want to see him in the playoffs. I just don't see it happening, bro.
I think Brooklyn's going to take that eighth spot from him somehow, some way in the play-in situation.
Yeah.
Next up, a team that was number one in the East for a good part of earlier in the season. The Chicago Bulls are yes at minus 5,000 and no at plus 1,600.
See, senor, of course they're going to be in the playoffs. Kidding me?
Yes. I think they've cooled off a little bit, but still getting everyone back is important. And I see them fucking around getting to the second round. We'll have to see what happens from there. Toronto Raptors, who've been playing good basketball of late, are yes at a minus 1,400 and a no at plus 750.
I'm going to go a yes.
A yes. Where are they currently sitting? They're currently sitting in the sixth spot, so they're right above
that.
That poverty line. A game above the Cavs. Last but not least, the Brooklyn Nets at a yes. This is the one time I might bet because I think the odds are pretty good. The Nets are at minus 1,400 for a yes and at no plus 750. Just have a feeling, man, they're going to fuck around and do something special this year. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep.
Jack, all Final Four preview. We got Duke, Villanova, Kansas, North Carolina. Could Coach K ride off in the sunset and get this last ring before he retires? Who do you like in the Final Four?
I got kids on Duke and North Carolina. But I want North Carolina to win. I've always been a fan of North Carolina. I just like the school. But Duke has a couple guys that I coached. Paolo, Griffith, and number one that comes off the bench. Excuse me. Four of the starting five was in the Allen Iverson game. So I got a chance to coach these kids. So I'm really rooting for them too. But if I had to make a choice, it's Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not mad at the choice. Carolina knocked us off, then ran through. Shout out Shaheem Holloway and his boys over there at
St. Peter's.
St. Peter's, man, they definitely first 15 seed to make the Elite Eight. Even though he stole the MVP from you, we're going to forgive him.
Yeah,
for that,
hey, you know what, man, though? All bullshit aside, let me give my brother a shout out. You know, that was big. I think it was perfect timing for him. You know, we're getting those guys, coach. From me knowing him, they definitely played with his attitude. They was confident because he's always been confident. And I think it happened at the right time with Seton Hall, coach stepping down because he belongs at Seton Hall, where he played basketball, where he took him to the tournament, where he was one of the best players of Seton Hall history. So that coaching job is open. I hope that my boy get that job, and he deserves it. Congratulations, bro.
It's kind of a bittersweet situation because you build such a special environment with St. Pete's, and then if he has to, and that's what happens, though, when you're at a smaller program, the doors start opening at other programs. And then, to me, it's a no-brainer for him to be able to go back to Seton Hall, man. So we'll have to see what happens. And shout out, we need to get him on the show, man. Y'all could discuss the McDonald's game and this run and what's next for him. This Thursday, our next episode featuring our brother Dame Dash, man, dropped a lot of game on us. It's going to get Jack in some of his movies. You guys enjoy this teaser.
Jay has shouted you out in a speech at his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Thanked you. After all you guys have been through years later, how did that make you feel?
It was cool. It was good for the culture. I was happy for the culture. I was happy about how happy it made so many people.
How did it make you feel?
It made me happy that everyone was so happy. Okay. You know, I'm usually worried about my culture. So I was like, again, I think that because number one, Jay and I never had a beef, number one. It just got made up, or maybe it was just leveraged so certain things can happen. And I was always confused about that. I'd be like, why do they keep saying we beefing? But I guess, you know, it was a move. It was a chess move. It was always a business thing for Jay. He just said, why pay two other people when I could just pay one? And he went with that. And, you know, on a business level, it could have been the right move, but on a friendship level, I didn't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care so much about business. The friendship always meant more to me than anything. It was our bond as friends. So it was hurtful. You got to remember something. It was my choice. And that's what people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me not to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They begged me not to leave any of those things. The thing that happened with Jay was that he didn't want Biggs to be a part of it anymore. And I wouldn't rock with that. That's it. You could ask Biggs, and you can ask Jay. You may not get an answer, But that was what
that's
happened.
That's what it is.
It just was like, yo, I can't do that to Biggs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Period. And I was like, yo, we could do something different. But Rockefeller was always supposed to be us three, no matter what.
Closing thoughts, something that needed to happen, that was crazy that it even got fucked up or derailed from the beginning. But last week, Vanessa Bryant, I saw her on her Instagram announce that Nike and Kobe are announcing a long-term partnership. You know, they parted ways for a while, but I'm glad they found their way back. I think we thought that Kobe should have had one of them Godfather deals that LeBron got, that MJ got. To me, it was a no-brainer. Is that a Kobe sweatshirt you're wearing right there? Mm-hmm. I thought it was Viola when I first glanced. That shit is hard.
GG, Kobe.
Where'd you get that?
Somebody sent it to me, man. Whoever sent it to me, shout out to you.
Yeah, I need one. Send that shit to me, too. The new partnership includes products not only with Kobe, but Gigi as well. 100% of the net proceeds will go to the Mambacita Foundation. Jack, how important is this to the Bryant family, and how important is this for Nike and culture overall?
You know, from talking to you, you know, because I know you're close with Vanessa, and just hearing things that was going on, you know, it was depressing because not only Kobe is like a brother to me, but, you know, I'm a fan, too. I wear shoes. You know, I still play, you know, and to see how the youth had embraced the shoes, to see that with every AAU camp, even in the NBA, everybody's wearing the shoes, to see that they was trying to discontinue that, and that was even an idea, you know, not to come back out with them, was just disheartening to hear. But to see that they got it right, to see Vanessa stood on her ground and demanded what she needed for the respect of her family and her son, I'm glad she got what she wanted. I'm glad 100% of the proceeds for Gigi shoes are going to the Mamba Academy. Everything is being done right, and it's well-deserved. So shout out to Vanessa and the family, and I'm glad Nike got it right.
Yeah, definitely. First and foremost, I'm glad Nike got it right because they were on some bullshit before he passed. I had heard some of the stuff that was going on and I couldn't believe, I'm just like, this is how you guys are going to do Kobe. So it was unfortunate. So glad that they were able to get back on the same track, and I actually talked to Vanessa, man, a couple weeks ago. And she said they have some big stuff cooking with Nike, to get back into the youth side of sports. So excited to see when she announces that, you know, for the rest of the world to know what they have going on.
Make sure when she send your packages that I get one too now.
I'll pass the word for sure. Man, last night, Jack, let's talk about this. It took the world by storm. Will Smith went up on the stage and slapped the shit out of Chris Rock for making a joke about Jada. Before we get into the breakdown, I just wanted to say this. Unfortunate that it was Chris Rock, because I think we all love Chris Rock and he's great at what he does. But he does have a history of somewhat trolling this couple. And I know that's what comics are supposed to do. But he did some stuff back in 2016. And I think what really hit a nerve this time around, and this is what we can discuss, is, you know, Jada came out and said she has alopecia, and that's why she shaved her head, and the hair joke crossed the line. I think Will tried to laugh it off at the beginning, but then saw, you know, how hurt Jada was, and he went up on the stage, man. So let's break this down a little bit. What were your immediate thoughts when you saw the situation?
Well, one, for me, man, I'm not surprised, to be honest, Matt, because a man can only take so much, especially when he's dealing with his family. You can't tell a man what's disrespectful to him and what's not disrespectful to him. You can't tell a man how to act when he gets disrespected. I don't care if it's on TV, the Oscars, wherever. You see, that's the thing. People expect, especially a black man, they expect when you reach a certain level of success that you're supposed to take everything and act a certain way to keep your success and to keep your money. Nah, fuck that. Family is bigger than everything. See, one thing about it, you ain't gonna die with none of that money, but your family is very important. And for him to stand up for his wife, knowing that all the things that's been said, you know what I'm saying, knowing the position that he was put in on TV to be embarrassed and all this stuff that was going on, enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? Enough is enough. And I'm not mad at Will for how he reacted. You know, everybody in the audience saying he shouldn't react like that because it's at the Oscars. Man, fuck the Oscars. Chris Rock should have swung back. And if you and you know what I'm saying, and one thing about it, hey. if you're willing to say shit as a joke, you know what I'm saying, willing to say it, you're gonna have to take the consequences from it. You know what I'm saying? It's like I said, it's a lot going on, man. I'm not mad at Will. You know what I'm saying? Everybody just, I'm upset with the people that's saying because of who he is and that success he had, he should have handled it a different way. Look, bro, you said this shit on TV, your ass can get slapped on TV, point blank.
You got to be accountable for your words. Again, I think it's unfortunate because, again, I think we all are fans of Chris Rock. And I don't think he initially meant what he said in a malice way or a disrespectful way because he makes jokes for a living. But, you know, with the alopecia situation and, you know, the hair joke, it crossed the line. But I also think this is a buildup from
facts.
All the shit that's been going on and said about this family in the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. And although they opened the doors, you know, with sloppy pimping from the young singer kid, they've had to deal with this shit every single day, Jack. And I kind of resonated to this situation because although the situations are completely different, you know, my situation with Gloria and Derek, and still to this day, that shit's been almost 7 years. And every single day, at some point, I'll see a comment somewhere about it. So only imagine being on Will Smith and Jada's level. I'm not even close to that level. So every single day, you're hearing disrespectful shit about your girl, your family, yourself. And Will talked about it after. I was like, you know, we're put in this position and we're just supposed to take all this shit. Like you said, we're just supposed to take it and smile and kiki and laugh it off. And Will had had enough. What kind of hurts too is, you know, this was supposed to be his night because we all knew he was going to win for King Richard. You know, he was able to capture his first Oscar. Well-deserved. But again, man, there's only so much a man is going to take about his family. You know, imagine if he didn't stand up for her the way Jada was feeling. That could have been more beef at the crib. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm happy if Will and Jada are happy. I think they were happy enough to possibly, and I say this all due respect, maybe go make a baby last night because they were popping and really feeling each other, man. So again, unfortunate situation. Stephen A. Smith went deep. Oh, I know you want to say. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, let me. I'm going to let you ask me that, but I want to touch on two things. I want to correct two things, too. Will Smith said Denzel told him, when you get to your highest, that's when the devil come. And Denzel wasn't calling Chris Rock the devil. He was just telling him that when you're at your highest, there's going to be certain situations to tempt you.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? The devil going to tempt you in certain situations. He wasn't talking about Chris Rock, and a lot of people took that the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? And my second point was, it's ironic Chris Rock gets slapped for making a hair joke when he made a movie talking about black people hair. Ain't it?
Funny. I think you made a great point. I mean, everyone loves Chris Rock, period. You know what I mean? He's been, you know, a historical comedian for our generation, so again, there's a lot of love there. But again, unfortunate. What was your take? Because I saw this morning when I woke up, I was scrolling on Instagram, and obviously, you know, Stephen A. Smith is known for his loud takes, and the energy he brings kind of makes him think like he's right. I didn't think everything he said. I thought a lot of the shit he said was wrong, to keep a G with you. You made a comment. Talk to us about what you thought about his take on the situation.
Yeah, he a walking contradiction, bro. You know, he talking about Will Smith and what he did to another black man on the stage like the Oscars, going slapping is not right. He might have ruined his whole legacy and all that stuff. He trying to say, do it every day. Yeah, if possible. Stephen A. Smith, you do it every day. You made it personal with Kyrie. You went out your way to continue to say on TV that this man is not a hero when he's a hero to many people. Stephen A. Smith, you are a hero to some people. Everybody's a hero to someone, but you do it every day. You do it every day on TV to a black man or somebody. You know what I mean? So for him to get up there to post that and say Will shouldn't have did this, or he might end up ruining this, and all, it's just uncalled for. Because one thing, you don't see no white people posting that saying he ruining his legacy. You don't see no white people posting that he might have did this and he might have did that. No, you didn't. So you on the outside looking in just like everybody else. But it's funny, every time something like this, when a black man in this position, you always stand on the other side against them. And proof and history tells that. And that's why I said, Stephen A. Smith, you do this every day on TV. Please don't make us remind you, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can't cancel Will Smith, first and foremost. You know, he's one of the biggest stars in the world. Again, you know, we're not the one to decide whether this is a black eye on the Oscars or this, this, and that. I just know his legacy is intact. They'll always remember the slap. They'll also remember his first Oscar.
Man, this is the most the Oscars ever been watched. Thank you, Will Smith. Oscars, thank you, Will Smith. Y'all better thank him for that slap.
Yeah. And I have a feeling, too, at some point, Will and Chris are going to sit down and this will be water under the bridge. But again, I think in the moment, everyone had a lot of different feelings and emotions. And hopefully this will be resolved. Congratulations. Again, because it was his first Oscar. That's what I think is going to get missed in translation, man, is this his first Oscar. So salute. He did a great job in King Richard. And, man, I'm riding with Will and Jada for sure.
Hey, hey, hold on. And pregame for all you people out there, comedians, kids, children, you say something about somebody and they start walking towards you without saying nothing, put your hands
up. Get your hands up.
Oh, yeah, get ready, bro.
Get
don't just stand up.
Fucking hands up. Now more than ever, man, there's repercussions for your words. You know what I mean? Whether it's a kiki or some racist shit or whatever the situation may be ready to back up what you're talking about.
Stand on it.
Motherfuckers is not having it no more. Jack. We got some bloopers coming up for our fans, man. We had a great run at the start of the year, so you guys get to see all the behind the scenes, all the fuck ups, all the laughs. You guys enjoyed this blooper reel, and we will see you guys next week. What's Burning is available every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube.
And on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Show Basketball.
Welcome back, season 3.
What up, though?
I can't do it.
That was
there it is. Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what Birdie says. I would bury the both of you motherfuckers.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Start rolling.
What's that little colored board for? I know what color Jack is. The one on the far left.
When did you come up with the name Mozzie? What did that derive from?
Mozzie. Mozzarella Marmelato. I was just in a super creative time. You feel me?
Time I say that again?
Yeah, Mozzarella Marmelato.
Yes, sir.
I see you got that merch. Where can they find that merch at?
I forgot.
The Last Enforcer. In stores February 4th, or excuse, 1st, excuse
first,
me, right?
Yeah,
February
first.
1st. Sabrina, and then I'm going to let you announce your own last name because I think it's the most mispronounced name in sports.
Ionescu.
Ionescu.
Nope, you still fucked it up.
Ionescu?
Ionescu.
Ionescu.
Yes.
Everyone out there, stop fucking it up.
Yes,
put some respect
please.
On it.
Jack, what's good? What's up, my brother? How you?
Or not. Can you hear me? Am I that delayed to you?
Ron was out of control, bro. Like, but I loved him. Shout out Ron Artest. He put me on Panera Bread too. Yeah.
That's random as fuck.
It's crazy. I used to play basketball.
Okay.
So
I knew that was in New York. I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming.
How long is going to say right away? He tell y'all I used to play ball. So everybody that watch our show know like every episode he going to remind y'all he played ball.
He dressed like a hooper. You
can
$5
fine for ringing.
Be
that guy.
Fuck a $5 fine
to
push up. Where you do 10 push ups every time you go down you inhale, exhale. Yeah. So I'm already high.
I love push-ups.
Welcome to the show, Jamal Murray.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
What's
thank
up,
you for
bro,
coming
boss?
Through. With whooping Jack's ass earlier in Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'm still trying to. I'm still putting bandages on right now for all the knives he threw at my face.
This nigga just hit me with a knife.
Did he?
From long range. From Tom Brady range.
You stuck on an island. 3 shows or movies you'd have on repeat.
If I'm by myself, I'm watching. I'm gonna get that hub on. I'm fucking with you.
And what made you get back in the ring?
Hold on, before you start, OG, let me say this. I was worried.
I was too.
And this is what made me remember him, bro. After I'm talking all this shit to him, he ain't paying no attention to him, and I'm getting ready to try to start a fight. It's a timeout. And I see him walking to him with his teammates, and he looks at his teammates like, is he serious? Yeah. I bust out laughing, bro.
I wish I had these variables. I mean, I do, but I don't have Showtime. Mm-hmm. Pass the plug.
We talked about this already.
And you still haven't passed it.
It was our first time talking.
That was
our first time talking.
Anything I do, blame it on the weed, not my heart.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Paramount Mountain, the place where entertainment lives. Home to bumblebees, hounds, and birdies. Giant hippos.
Wait.
And flying jackasses.
Let her rip, tater chip.
Yep, this mountain's full of surprises. In fact, I'm not even Tim McGraw.